Talking about last hour, a question that Sharon raised. There's a difference between treating a woman, fellas, as your wife with deference. That is not the same thing as treating a woman like a child. And that's what women resent. Treating a woman like a child. That is a man who will not trust his woman with his wife with finances. I know a young husband, I know recently a young husband who would not let his wife take a trip in a car by herself. Why? Well, he just didn't think that was, he didn't think it was safe. Of course, something might happen. Of course something might happen, you get the point where and that's not what I'm talking about. For instance, if a wife has to give an account for all her time, she decides to go out and do something with her friend, she has to ask him, that kind of stuff. That's silly. That is not what I'm talking about. Do y'all get that? And you can recognize the difference. Listen, if you have to treat your woman like a child, don't marry her. You don't need another child. And some men are so insecure and their self-concept is so weak that they can never feel like the head of the house unless they treat their woman like their wife like a child. And that's very bad. And women resent it and have a right to resent it. You don't want to? Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you some advice, though. I'll give you some advice. Learn.
Well, he wants me to learn.
So if you have to, something should happen to him, he should get real sick, or he should even die, he said you can take care of things. I'm very serious about this. My wife, I take care of all the finances. I pay the bills, keep the budget in my family. But my wife did it for a long time. She just didn't like to do it. She's very good at it. She could do it fine, did it fine. But she didn't want, we tried it both ways just to see what would work. And she said, the reason she took it over, we were first married. She took it over for a while because she felt like I was so busy. I was going to school and she thought she could relieve me of it. She did it to help me. So I wouldn't have to have that on my mind. And she did it for, 2 or 3 years. I could see she didn't enjoy it. It got on her nerves. And she just didn't like it. Some women like it. There's nothing to do, So I took it back over and had it ever since. But I think it was good because I know that because she was good at it, that if anything happened to me, she would not be at a loss. And, she'll say, honey, leave me the checkbook today. I got something I got to get. I don't worry about giving the check, or she's, give me the credit card, I gotta do some shopping, something like this. You understand, you don't treat a woman like a child. I give my wife her own gasoline credit card so she can fill up her car whenever she needs to, and she goes where she wants to go, does what she wants to do. She's an adult. You understand? She doesn't ask my permission to go out to lunch with a friend, or when I come home, she doesn't, You have to give an account where she's been all day and that kind of thing. But some women are treated like that. And they don't like it. And nobody's got a right to treat a woman like that. You say, but that's different than treating her with deference and caring for her and taking care of things. Okay, do you want to ask another question?
Well, I was just wondering, because I remember you saying something before that you felt better when you went away and your wife was independent enough to where she could handle things. I was just depending on the fact that if a guy is doing so much for a woman, going to the grocery stuff all the time, that she may depend on that, and when you leave, she may not do anything for herself. And just
yeah, that's extreme. And some women are like that. Now, I say carry the groceries in. If I'm not there, she carries them in. And then think a thing about it. But if I'm there, it's my responsibility.
But even if you are there, couldn't she do it a few times just to, you know what I mean?
Well, she does, has to do it enough. She made a problem.
I don't see the point in the man doing it all the time.
Well, not all the time, no. I'm talking about it as a normal thing, though.
Okay.
Let me tell you, it's this. It's not so much what you do and what you don't do, Sharon. It's an attitude. And the attitude is, look, I love you. Can I do anything for you? Can I help you? Not that you make a child of them, and not that you get silly about it. But fellas, you know what you do this? You know, well, for instance, if you're going to go away on a trip, well, I travel a lot. What do you do with your wife? You see, do you say, "Honey, good luck. You're on your own. Goodbye." No, you say, "Here's what you do, fellas. Here's what you do. You make sure that she's got transportation, and she's got enough money. Anything comes up." And you make sure she's got if you got medical insurance, make sure she's got a car in case anything happens. Make sure she's got what she needs to while you're gone. And you call her up when you get there and say, or the second night, is everything okay? And you don't just pull off and let her. And you make sure she's got what she needs to run things while you're gone. That's your responsibility. Not that she can't handle things. But you just take the responsibility. And most women want that. They want a man to take that responsibility. my wife, you met my wife. She's a very independent, intelligent person. And yet, the time comes, she says, "I don't want to worry about that. You just take care of it. Certain things, you know."
Is that wrong?
No.
Well,
no, it's not. That's a good question. That's not wrong at all. But every marriage has its own chemistry.
There's some things that I can't do, and I'd rather have Marsh do
Well, I don't know if I mentioned this before. For instance, I'll give you an example. It's a man's responsibility to see that his wife is taken care of financially, so anything should happen to him. Listen, you marry a woman, and you have a couple of kids, and they're still small. You have a responsibility, fellas, to make sure that there's insurance or whatever it takes, so that if you get killed, she's not left on the end of a limb somewhere for 20 years. And she has a right to be taken care of that way. Now, if anything happened to her, you can probably handle things pretty well. I always carry twice as much insurance on me as I do on her. Why? Well, anything happens to her, I've set up, of course, our kids are about raised now, but I've had it set up for years that if anything happened to me, she could raise the kids, I can put them through college and never have to go to work. She didn't want to. I thought that was my responsibility. Now, if anything happened to her, I'd have had a rougher time of it. But my income is higher than her. I can make more money than she can. And that's not true of all couples, you understand? But she gets the deference. And most women want that. And they have a right to expect it.
Now, we'll set our insurance policy up. My wife took offense at the fact that I had questions less on me than on her. Because she looked at it like, she looked at me as downgrading me, saying, "Aren't you worth as much?" And, and I'm like, because I only get half for her. And I had to explain to her, she didn't make this. I can handle it because I have a job, I have a career, I get the education. And not to downgrade her, but man, once she thought about it, there was no problem. But at first, she was just like.
Well, we get back to this, yes.
I was going to say, when he first said that, I thought that she was going to take the other side and say, "Don't you think I'm just as valuable as..."
That's what I thought.
That's what you meant,
And probably more women take the other side than what your wife did, but I think that's good what your wife thought about you.
Well, we get back to this thing to romance. Let's get back on our own tack here.
Yeah.
We're talking, this is brought up, it's a very legitimate question brought up. We're going to come back to this kind of thing when we come to raising children. We're going to talk about the difference between being close and being dependent. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? That we keep romance in the marriage. The importance of time alone together. Couples need time alone together.
I recommend there's a time. I think some couples use babysitters too much. On the other hand, there's a time to get a babysitter. There's a time you need time alone. And that's very, very important. We come to wise gift giving, and I put this in here. This is a very practical thing to talk about, students. Wise gift giving. Now I could have put this other places in the syllabus, but I put it here because gift giving is very often connected to romance. Not always, but often. Now, few men care about the distinction between the personal and the practical. Most women care very much about it. Now, let me teach you fellas this. Women know this. Men have to be taught it. For a man, when he gets a gift, and the men will bear me out on this, for a man, when he gets a gift, there is no distinction in his mind between what is personal and what is practical. Now, I grew up in, my parents were raised, grew up during the Depression. And when I grew up, we didn't have a lot of extra money laying around. Sometimes didn't have any extra money laying around. And so what our family did for years and years was that on your birthday, you got what you had to have anyway. You get your school clothes, you know, we would use holiday. Now sometimes you got something frivolous. At Christmas, most of your gifts were what you had to have anyway. But then there would be some stuff you didn't have to have. Well, and to a man, you see, if he needs something for his work, and you give it to him as a gift, he's tickled to have it. Let me be practical. Let me give you an example. Here's a man that says he's a mechanic. Or he likes to tinker. He's the mechanic. And there's a certain set of tools he needs. And it comes his birthday, and his wife gets them for him. He's tickled with that. He thinks it's great. On the other hand, a woman makes a very clear distinction in her mind between what is personal and what is practical. You and I got my wife for our first anniversary. You're not going to believe this. Talk about silly. I bought my wife an iron for our first anniversary. I was raised on the farm. I didn't know any better. And listen, it was a nice iron. I mean, that thing had racing stripes. It was three speed. It was everything but play Bach. It was a nice iron, big yellow thing. I remember that. And the only iron she had was a little tiny thing she had when she was single, you know, carry around the suitcase. And she needed an iron. It came her anniversary, so I bought her an iron. I noticed she wasn't overly thrilled about it. She worked at being thrilled, but she failed. And, of course, I look back on that now. How dumb can you get? Listen, fellas, here's the rule. If she needs a vacuum cleaner, go buy her a vacuum cleaner. Do not give it to her for her birthday. Now, you see, to a woman, a gift is not a gift unless it is personal. Not something for the house, something for her. Preferably expensive. That says that you care. You understand? So while, and often men will buy gifts for their wives as if they were other men. If she, you know, you understand? For a man, if it's practical or personal, he does not care.
In our house, my dad came to that understanding, I guess, when we were little kids, that mom doesn't want the practical stuff for Christmas. But he can't get it still in his head that, you know. So us girls get together and we pick out the frivolous thing for mom and he gives her something practical. Both gifts come from him, but we just don't pick out, you know, a ring or something, and then he gives her a camera or something.
Then again, like you said, it depends upon where you were raised. Because like my wife, she would rather have the practical stuff at birthday and Christmas time and the personal stuff as impulse.
Well, your wife's unusual. Now, you do both.
Yeah, she's got it.
Yeah, keep that wife. Don't lose her. Let me ask you this. Do you know who buys all the aftershave lotion? Men almost never buy aftershave lotion. Do you know that? Women buy it. In fact, all the commercials are designed to get women to buy it because they know that men are not going to buy it. Why? Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, men can't smell it. This isn't going to cost anything. This is a little side piece of information. But most men cannot smell as well as women can because their sense of smell is inferior. That's true. Some men are better, but for instance, a woman can put on good perfume, an hour later she can pass another woman. Sometimes that other woman can tell you what kind of perfume it is. A man puts on aftershave oil, he can smell it when you first put it on, he can't smell it after that. And ladies, you can put on the best perfume in the world, and your man, he might get a good first whiff. After that, he can't smell anyway. Remember, maybe faintly. And listen to me, a man cannot tell the difference between $2 an ounce and $2 a gallon. Right, fellas? I mean, we just don't care.
But
he can't tell the difference between an expensive smell and a cheaper. Some men can. Most men can. Right, fellas? Listen to me. You put on expensive perfume, he can't, after the first whiffer, he can't smell anything. He quits smelling it. No, it's just the way the olfactory system works. Now, and by the way, women, listen to me, women wear perfume for other women, whether they know it or not. And, at least it works out that way, and most men, if they wear aftershave lotion, they wear it for their wives. They don't wear it for themselves. When I wear aftershave, my wife buys it. Guess what she wants, and I wear it because she wants me to. I can't smell it anyway, and it seems stupid to me. You know, I don't care. And perfume, for instance, the perfume I got from my wife last Christmas was $27 for a little bottle about that high. It hurts a man to spend, right, fellas? It hurts a man to spend $27. It hurts a man to buy roses. Why? He can't smell them. They die after a couple of days, and you could buy 3 pair of socks, right, for what it costs for 6 roses. When a man buys it, it's for her. It's dealing with her from her point of view, not his, because he knows it's not practical. Men have this sense of, well, anyway. So, what you do, fellas, if you're going to give gifts, you give them from her point of view. That is, and like I said, I don't. If I need something, my wife gets it for me. If I need a book, the book I've been needing, and she's done this, and she gets it for me, I'm happy as a clam.
Is that the reason that, like, we just got past secretaries meeting? You go to the floors, and it seemed all the arrangements that they had for men to buy for their secretaries, it was like flowers in a cup, or flowers in a lotion bottle, or something like that.
But you could use that.
Practicality to it. That, you know,
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. But you see, listen to me. Women sense this. Most women sense this. That they sense that men have that practical streak, if you want to call it that. And therefore, when a man does something which he considers to be impractical, a woman tends to know that the only reason he's doing it is because he cares about her. Let me put it this way. A woman will go a long way for a man, her man, if he loves her enough to make himself feel a little silly for her. If he writes a poem, it's not a very good poem, and he feels embarrassed at it, she likes that. Because she knows, women tend to know that men are arrogant. And men don't like to do things that make themselves feel ridiculous. Right? And when a man will do something for his wife, and she knows that the doing of it or the buying of it, he gives her something or does something for her, and she knows that he has made himself a little ridiculous in his own eyes. Not much, but a little ridiculous. She likes that. It sends a message.
to her. Because you see, a man's arrogance, a man's pride is special to him. A man is very proud of his pride. And when he gives some of it away for her, she appreciates that. It sends a message. If he says something it's hard for him to say, does something which is dumb, you know, he would die if one of his buddies found out about it. It sends a message. If you don't like to wear a certain kind of clothes, yeah, it depends. Yes. Okay. Yes. But let me tell you, Kim. Kim has brought up something very important, which is not in the syllabus. But listen to this. I'm going to teach you something very important. This is a general. It's a generality now. Okay, about buying clothes. Women, fellas, if you are in a profession like preaching, where you wear business suits, you dress up, do not let your wife buy your clothes. I'm not saying there are exceptions to this. Women are not very good at buying business clothes. They tend to buy the wrong colors and they tend to be too high fashion. I would never let my wife buy, I never let her buy my suits or I buy my own suits, business clothes, because her tastes are female and what she likes would be too high fashion for my work. And I wouldn't like it. However, so I'm like most men. There are many exceptions to this now. My wife is like most women, and there are exceptions to that. Understand? Her sense of business, she says, why don't you ever wear that? And she'll look at a guy who's dressed, high fashion suit and colors, cut, style and colors. And I say, honey, that's why I don't let you buy my business suits. I'll buy them. On the other hand, I'm like most men. My wife has a very good sense of casual clothes. I let my wife many times buy my casual. She has taught me, let me put it this way, not just who bought them. She has taught me how to dress casually because I did not know how. And so I respect her taste when it comes to casual clothes. And she'll buy me casual clothes for Christmas or Father's Day or something. And I wear them. And she buys things that I would never buy, but once I have them and wear them, I like them. But I would never go out and buy them. And some things I do buy casually, but she's taught me. See, I grew up in the country several years ago, and there was no such thing as casual clothes. There was work clothes and dress up. There was no play clothes. You realize this has only developed since the late 50s. We have this whole wardrobe of casual clothes. And so, you see what I'm saying? And that's the general rule. Women are better at buying casual clothes. Men ought to be careful to trust their wife in buying business clothes. Yes?
When you're talking about buying presents, I learned my lesson. All the girls, I know a lot of girls around here, like when you're dating somebody, they go buy little teddy bears, or they go buy little cutie things. And I did that about twice and ended up stuffed animal ones up on my bed. They don't care. I bought my knife, and I thought he was going to. I'm not. Just a knife. He went crazy and had to go show all his buddies. And then when I got him a gun, it was like a dream come true. And I can understand that. But all those teddy bears and all that cologne.
You were buying as if you were another woman. You were treating him.
Yeah,
without thinking about it.
A lot of girls do that. They'll come back and just look at you today and say, look what I got for my boyfriend. I'm going, that thing's going to end up on your bed. They don't usually.
No, but if he bought that for you, you'd be tickled to death.
Right. And so, buy him a fishing pole or something, he'll go crazy. And they take
Or something for his car.
Yeah.
Give him a gift certificate for a lube and oil. He'll love it. Right? Yeah. If you need it.
And that's a lot. I noticed that around here, a lot of girls do that when it's Christmas time, every time you see these little girls come with these little candy things with little cutesy things in it, and 90% of the time they end up eating it and they end up with it in their room.
That's right.
They waste the money.
Have you got the point? gift giving is, you have to be very, it's a very delicate thing. And a lot of feelings get hurt. It's very sensitive. Now, I'm in real trouble, fellas, because for you, I am, some men are very good at buying female things, and some aren't. And I'm one who is no good at it at all. And I have depended heavily for the last years on my daughters to get their, I take them shopping. If I go Christmas shopping, I take a daughter with me. My daughters have excellent taste. And they know what my wife would like. And if I go to buy a sweater for my wife, something, I take my daughters. But my daughters are getting married on me and getting older, and the day is going to come when I'm going to be on back on my own. I'm in real trouble.
Well, so the whole idea of a businessman getting his secretary to pick something out for his wife, while that might be demeaning to the job and things like that, there was some legitimacy to it.
And with some people, yes. Yes. Here's what happened. Before you learn better, a young wife might say, "Oh, I love the atmosphere. Look at it. Isn't this beautiful? You know, the dim lights and the tuxedo, you know, waiters." And he's sitting there thinking, "At Ponderosa, I can get the same steak at 1/4 the price." And listen, and he, fellas, you may think it, but you're not very smart if you say it. Think whatever you want to think, but keep your mouth shut. Why? Well, you're buying the idea of it.
It seems like why, when you go to a fancy restaurant, they have the ladies' menu without the prices on it. Certain things, put the prices on there, let her see it, because that's part of it. You know? Ooh, especially if you order for her. Ooh, 20 bucks just for them. Otherwise, it won't be.
Well, anybody else? I can see, I'm serious, I can see you all are tuned into this. It really is. And you can get hurt feelings, and you can waste a lot of money. And, well, cards. I tell you, fellas, a card goes a long way at the right time. My wife, I'll give you an example. And I like it too. The time before last, I had to go on a trip. I had to be gone for a week. I had to go to Pennsylvania, catch a plane, go. And when I opened my briefcase on the plane, some rascal had stuck a love card in it. And my wife had put a card. But I left one for her too. that she found after I was gone. And I tell you, it's expensive. You know, it cost $1.50 a card. But that card did a lot for me. Because all week when I was gone, just, you know, sleeping in another bed and away from my family, there was that card. And when I got home, there was my card on the kitchen where we keep all the cards. And is it silly? Well, it's not practical if you in that sense, but in a deeper sense, it is very practical. You see, you have to work at it. The fact that I've been married, my wife will be married 27 years next month, and she still writes me a love card like she did when we were engaged. That means a lot to me. But you have to work, understand, you cultivate it. It's like a plant. You work at it. You stay in love. My wife and I want very much to stay in love. And we work at staying in love. And you'll be just as much in love as you work at. You create romance. By a lot of things you do and a lot of things you don't do. And listen, there's nothing. You can talk about the fancy stuff and the expensive stuff and the exotic stuff and the imaginative stuff. But on a day-by-day basis, there's nothing that takes the place of the kiss and the hug and say, "Hey, honey, you know how much I love you, don't you?" Every day. Okay. Expressions I say here of romantic love generally are less natural for men than for women. A lot of exceptions to that. Women realize this and appreciate male efforts in this area. Here, fellows, are the qualities of a wise gift for a woman. Women have no problem when it comes to gift giving. Understand? As long as he wants it and needs it, give it to him. He doesn't care. And the fact that the less practical a gift is, the more he looks askance at it sometimes. That you understand what I'm saying? If I need a couple of pair of socks and I get aftershave lotion, I think I'd love to have the socks. Well, don't say that. But women, the other way around. Look at, here are the fellas, here are the four qualities of the perfect gift for a woman. Number one is personal, I've already said that. Number two is unexpected. You realize, don't you, that the card or the little gift, which she gets when it's not Valentine's Day and not her birthday and not your anniversary, is worth twice as much as the one she gets on the special days. You have to give them on the special days. You can't pass them up. God help you if you forget. And may God forgive you, because she won't, at least not for 2 or 3 years. But you do that. But the gifts that you give, and she'll say, "Honey, what's this for?" And I say, "Well, I was just celebrating the fact that it's Thursday and I'm still in love with you." That means twice as much as what you got on Valentine's Day. In fact, you can get by pretty cheap on Valentine's Day if you carry through some other days. I'm serious. Unexpected. Isn't this right, ladies? The unexpected gift. You see, what you're saying to a woman is, you see, when you give her birthday gift on a birthday, anniversary, and Valentine's Day and Christmas, in a sense, that's a duty. You owe it to her. You got to do that. And you got to. That's true. But when you do it on just because it's Tuesday or Monday and you got to remember how lucky you are to have her, and you tell her that, that's not a duty. That's love. The other is love too, but this is love in a different way. Does that make sense to you? Unexpected.
I have a question. Marsha brought me something that I actually despise in pain. It's clothes. And when I first started stealing, but I don't want to wear it. And what? I mean, should I wear it?
No.
I mean, it's not.
No, tell him.
Something you can wear out of
them. For our honeymoon, you know, I mean, they want to be dry. I can't wear it. I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Tell him you don't. Be straight with him. Tell him you don't want to hurt his feelings. You love him dearly. But sometimes men don't always know how to buy clothes for women. Yeah, right. I think if you're straight with him, it'll hurt his feelings. If you can't come to something like that without destroying your relationship, don't marry him. I'm very serious. And my wife had to tell me that. Now, he may get a little bit insulted, but it won't kill him. My wife had to tell me things like that. Because, listen, I grew up on the farm. I grew up in the hills, and I just didn't know a lot of stuff. Like buying an iron. Like buying an iron for your first anniversary. I mean, you talk about dumb. That's big time dumb, isn't it? That's really. Anybody else? Okay, creative. What about the perfect gift, fellas? Personal, unexpected, creative. And I think fellas do a pretty good job of this. Creative gifts, surprise gifts. You think of something that you didn't expect, that is, you have to work at it. And my wife is very creative. And I think fellows, I've learned a lot from them. And you ought to share ideas, creative gifts. Romantic gifts in some situations. Romantic gifts. Yes?
May I ask them some of the gifts that they've given their wife for creative?
Ask them.
Just a couple. I'd like to hear what you.
I'm
curious. Out of curiosity, I'd like to hear some of
that.
So would I.
Carol,
how about you?
It's not the type of thing you wear in public.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Kathy. Yeah.
Anything else?
And how you do it, or.
Yeah, or how you give it, or.
Okay. My wife made a dress for Jessica for Easter, and it took a lot longer than she expected.
she was supposed to wear, she was supposed to make a matching dress for her, and she couldn't, so I went for it.
Yeah.
And it was cut real big and didn't fit the first time, so I snatched it, took it back, and then got it again. And then she didn't. Actually, it was supposed to be for the banquet, and it, because it was so big, I had to take it back, so she didn't get it. So then she wore it the next time.
A lot of times that's true. If you get, a lot of times, you talk about spending practical. And Kathy wanted to buy a dress for the Hearts Day banquet. And I thought, you know, if you go down here and you buy a dress, and you, that's a good one because you can wear that 4 or 5 more times. You can do that. Yeah, just don't think that way. If she bought one, I don't know, I think she might have worn it once since. That's all right. It was a lot more than I had originally planned to spend. And she knew that. And she appreciated the fact that I said, yeah, let's go ahead. You know, it wasn't condoning. I wasn't saying, okay, yes, you may have the extra money. It was done a lot. And one time I had something for Kathy, and I don't remember what it was, but it was not what I gave her, but how I gave it to her. I took her over to school where she works, Michigan Avenue, and I knew that she was getting ready to take the kids in for lunch. And so I gave it to the kids. I left, and the kids gave it to her in front of the whole lunchroom. I don't even remember what it was. It was something stupid, you know. But it was just, you know. But it was just, and she just ate that up. She loved it.
Two things. One, when we look at two cars, we look for one of the ice, like the good floors, or your wife just lived in the
car.
And go, like, when I have a day off, go to the florist and get flowers in the car and leave it in the car before she gets off work. Or like I'll take her to a store and we'll be looking around and she'll see something and you can tell if it gets that gleam in their eye and if I can afford it, I can stretch the budget to $40 step next to it. How'd you like to have that? And you buy it for her. That way you're safe. You know what they're
doing. Yeah, that's good, yeah.
And she doesn't expect it.
Get away from her right away. You always get away from them at the mall when they're, you walk around the mall, just kind of window shop and stuff. If you get away from them, sometimes that's hard to do. And walk by the, you go down and go down the florist and just buy a rose and just walk up to her and just answer right in the mall. You couldn't do anything better.
There's a lot of old ladies around too because they start doing all
that.
Yeah.
And
she look
real good. I'll tell you one thing, Phil. What you do for your wife, you can become one. She's going to tell her friends if it's good. I mean, soon too.
But she tells her friends, her female friends, and her female friends' husband doesn't do those kind of things.
I really like the gorilla. Mark, I like that. Mark's wife, on his birthday, had this service come, a gorilla with the balloons. Happy birthday. I like that.
Whatever you do, do not compare your husband or wife to anybody else. Don't say, well, how come you can't do what so-and-so does?
Don't ever tell a man that. Ooh, no. That's no-no.
Why can't you do what so-and-so does? He does this.
My girlfriend's husband does this all the time. What's the matter with you?
Talking about this one when your wife was here. That's
right.
In fact, sometimes it bothers me when she's spent money I know that we don't have in order to give me a little something, especially something dumb like they always do. But at the same time, we have to learn. We have to learn to allow them to give just as, because I've enjoyed giving her stuff. But then when she'll say, well, I didn't get you anything,
sometimes,
don't worry about it. Well,
sometimes men do not give their wives. Men are better at giving gifts than receiving them sometimes. Like women with compliments, yes.
But what about like Christmas time? I know my dad does this, and God does this. Okay, both of them say, I don't give any Christmas presents. You know, I don't want any Christmas presents. And I know both of them, and they're being honest now. My mom always got my dad something, and I always got something. But they always say, you know, don't give anything. Do they just mean that?
Yes.
And they'd be just...
That'll mean nothing, but if a man, for instance, if a man buys, if he can buy, most men, if he can buy really something good for his wife, and then, and there's not enough money left over in the budget that she can't get him something
that's gift
equal, listen to me, fellas, and learn this. He really doesn't care. It doesn't bother him. It really doesn't bother him. But what he needs to know is it bothers her, and it's not fair to her. And often a man will put his wife in a terrible position where, because it doesn't bother him, he's insensitive to the fact that it bothers her. Now, this is what you were saying, and it's exactly right. That is, if she wants to get you something, you must accept it graciously and not put her in a position, because it's very humiliating to a woman, as would be to you if you reversed it. For instance, if a man, it's not fair to her that you give her such a gift that she cannot give you a gift like a Christmas. You understand that? It's not right to her. She has the, she has her dignity too, and she has a right to it.
Just who's next to her?
Does it upset you if your wife would maybe get you something really, really nice, and you, like Christmas exchange gifts, and yours was very expensive, and you got her something that wasn't? Does that bother you if she
would have
to get you?
Yes, man. Oh, yes.
No.
Because well, that's
something Kathy and I have gone through, is that we'll make a deal, like kind of anniversary's coming up, so we won't spend very much, and I can't help it. I'll go out and spend three times, and then she gets mad at me because I spent more than her.
And you got to be careful about that.
Yeah. I could get another. She wouldn't.
It's really not fair to her.
Down to the day I died, it would bother me.
But you see, it bothers her. But it bothers her.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
What do you think about, like, for Christmas or something, just making an agreement between each other and saying, okay, we wanted this, like, stereo TV combination package. Let's just put what we would spend, you know, on individual gifts, and let's just go in and get this together, you know?
The day before Christmas, you're going to end up running out and get there something.
Yes.
I know you.
If you buy a stereo, we did this one Christmas, bought a stereo. But still, you still need the personal gift, so which is hers alone. Most men know this, understand? You can spend, you're exactly right, you can spend the big bucks that you saved up on the stereo system, but you still, each of you, have got to give the personal.
Even if it's something small.
Even if it's something small. Exactly right. That's the way it works.
To avoid that with us, what me and Melanie do, and I, we have a budget at Christmas. Because Christmas is probably really going to get the biggest. And we figure out how much we've got, and we split it right down the middle. And we say, this is, and you do as you want with it. And, if I want to get her one large item of the whole thing, that's fine. She wants to get a whole bunch of little stuff, that's fine. We just split it down the middle. But we know what's there to work with it. So it usually doesn't.
That's smart, because you can sure sour. Gift giving is a very delicate thing, and boy, it can go sour easily. Young couples can make some real big mistakes. Listen, usually the mistake you make is over giving. I'm serious. For some gifts are in bad taste because they're too expensive for the situation, for your time in life, for your age, for your income.
You can give gifts, but you have to give a card.
Yeah.
One of the main mistakes, and I've given a card one time, and I regret it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the rest of the guys in the group, but what they would like, I come from a large family, she said Melanie comes from a large family. When you get married, that first Christmas, there's only the two of you, and it's the one thing you miss is the Christmas tree from all the presents around it. And then we did it, especially our first Christmas, because we just bought stupid stuff. She needed a glass cleaner or common or stuff like this. Just stuff you don't think ordinarily, just to buy it and wrap it up. And it was one of the best Christmases we've had. She didn't know what she was getting, and she did the same thing for me. But if you come from a large family, it's you're used to all that. And these little things, buck items, stuff like that. And it means a lot. It was one of the best Christmases we've had. Nothing expensive.
Or it's gone down. Yeah. That's almost true for vacations too. Sometimes it's better if you know you got a vacation coming up, you just want to make a big plan, and the day before you say, hey, we're going. You know, don't worry about planning ahead of time, packing up all this and that, getting all some groceries, taking the exam, just forget it. So next morning, wake up for the kids and all right, take off. That's the best vacation we have.
So you don't tell the kids 2 weeks in advance you don't enjoy it.
Yeah, you make laugh. That's interesting. Some marriages that really works, and some, you know, some of your best times you have are your unplanned times. Sometimes not. Anybody else? Well, you got the. There's a lot of. We've generalized. There's a lot of exceptions to everything that we've said, but y'all get the general picture, don't you? And ladies, this is right, isn't it? The person, listen, women are better. Let me just, we've got a couple minutes left. Listen, here's a general rule on gift giving. Women are generally better at it than men are. Men learn, though, and some men are very good at it. But women have a better natural sense of gift giving than men do. It's a smart man who will listen to his wife and let her teach him if he needs to be taught. Now, listen to me, some women, again, treat gifts like the way they do compliments. Now, that's not quite a. How many of you have had created for you some kind of strange attachment to the thing, having put this much work and effort into it? There's a problem with an egg. An egg cannot return affection the way a baby can. But you, so it's kind of it's kind of a one-sided experiment, but you do get a sense of the perpetual obligation of having children. That children are very much with you. Now, carrying the egg is artificial in some ways, in that you would not have that kind of hour-by-hour responsibility with a child at all times in normal life. That is, all of you would. Men would not, or women, you would be not quite that intense. However, the responsibilities of a child otherwise far outweigh the responsibilities of an egg, right? Those of you who have children. And that feeling you get that once a baby is born, you have a responsibility. And that's what I wanted to teach you ahead of time. Because this sense of responsibility that you're never... Did you get the feeling while you were in the last week with your eggs that you were... Your life was not your own the way it was before? That's the feeling. You're not quite... You don't have the freedom that you had before. Well, that's exactly what happens when you have a baby. Only it goes on and on and on. You're never the same again. Your life, you've lost it. Having a baby represents a loss of freedom. Now, the benefits far outweigh what you lose, all the things being equal. But you're not as free as you were before. And you get a sense of otherness that... sort of forced on you, whether you want it to be or not. And what would any of you have particular reactions? Anybody? How many of you made it through with unscathed? Your egg unscathed? Look, you wouldn't know. Of course, you noticed. Okay, that's pretty good. This one.
She got fried. I can't put a diaper on her, she's too sore.
Did any of you have did any of you have particular experiences with your egg or feelings that you thought were unusual or notable and you wanted to share with the class about it? What did you notice about? What got to you the most? And to take it everywhere.
Trauma. It would hit me all of a sudden.
Anybody else? Anybody? People make fun of you? You're the kind of person. You're the kind of person people make fun of whether you're carrying an egg around or not. Well, I think that you all did very well. I sort of watched and tried to evaluate sort of informally, and I think the class entered into the spirit of it very well, and I think most of you are pretty faithful to the. It's hard to follow the rules exactly all the way through. I know that. Not trying to be legalistic about it, except for one of us. I think that there was a pretty good response, and I think you found it interesting.
You won't get Father of the Year.
I won't. Yes, but let me ask you this: did any of you ever really get angry that you had up with this? I mean, really fed up. One, two.
It wasn't because I was really mad.
I think it's given us a tiny insight into the feelings that go with child abuse. You see, one of the fallacies of the pro-death argument is that abortion was going to decrease child abuse. It did not decrease child abuse, it increased child abuse. But going in, the experts pointed out that there is no connection between child abuse and whether a child is wanted or not. The pro-death people said, if we have abortion, we won't have unwanted children, and if we don't have unwanted children, we won't have as much child abuse. But you see, abused children are wanted children. There's no connection between the two. It's just that this little darling, which is so precious to you at one time, can get on your nerves so much at another time. And it takes a great deal of self-control to avoid child abuse, and with some people anyway. Because children can get on your nerves very much. And when you're tired, and you can, and sometimes you're tempted to break them like an egg. Well, let me ask you one more. I'll get this in your essays. But generally, did you feel like it was a profitable experience? It was. One thing about it, even with an egg, you get over this notion, if you ever had it, that children are toys. Because a toy you can play with and then throw it down and leave it and go on. And that's why I can't do it. Well, a week is a long time, and you all done a good job, and I appreciate it. Okay, any questions or comments on their project? Everybody finished it. Yes.
Can I agree with you? Oscar, I just had writing the essay on how to create a likable 5-year-old.
Yes.
It was interesting because, like for myself, my son's only law and civil, it forced me to evaluate myself on how to raise my own son compared to how I lived the other son. And it really brought to life myself. I've been thinking about certain instances of what I was writing.
Yeah, it helps you to articulate your own feelings and probably will help you to change the things that they need to be changed. Well, pardon?
You don't think about it.
That's right.
You take it day by day.
Well, we're going to come to raising children. We need to move right along. I want to say, this hour, I want to talk about, and I'm looking at how many sessions we've got left. We're going to be pushing this. We've got two sessions after today, two two-hour sessions, so we're in pretty good shape. Talk about raising children, and we're going to have to get to that rather quickly. I'm going to talk about sex today, and I'm not going to get too clinical or get too much into this because I'm not trained to do so. But the first statement I make, we're on page 27 of our syllabus, is this. That sex is a gift to be enjoyed,
a skill to be learned and a responsibility to be met. That's what I teach about it. Second thing I want to say is that sex, contrary to what to the modern cultural myth, sex is not the greatest intimacy. Spiritual unity is the greatest intimacy. Sexual unity ideally expresses spiritual unity. Sexual intimacy expresses spiritual unity. Spiritual unity is the requirement for the best kind of sexual satisfaction and fulfillment. The failure of the modern doctrine of sex, I mention here, as a substitute for intimacy and commitment. You see, in the modern myth, that sex is a substitute for intimacy rather than an expression of it. If you think sex can take place where there's no intimacy whatever, except physical intimacy, except physical contact. But hear me, physical contact is not intimacy. If you doubt that, just walk down the South Orange Blossom Trail and watch all of the street ladies plying their trade, and you'll know right away that sexual contact is not the same thing as intimacy. I look at male-female differences in regard to sex. Men treat sex atomistically, women holistically, and I've already talked about this. Let me just mention it here in this context, that for men, sex is a very specific experience. For women, a more general experience. A man can isolate the act of sexual intercourse in his thinking from other events. A woman cannot and does not. And how a woman's ability to respond to her husband, a wife's ability to respond to her husband when it's time for sexual intercourse, on Friday night or Tuesday night or whatever night it is directly tied to how he's been treating her all week. You understand that? It is a holistic thing with a woman. Men can more easily be aroused at the exclusively physical level. Women more often require a sense of relationship. Now, it's not mutually exclusive. It's not either or. But men can get turned on visually to a woman they don't even know. Women, not so much. Women find it more difficult to get turned on to a man they don't even know. Now, I'm not saying that women do not look and lust. They do, but not to the degree that men do. Men think of a union of bodies. Women think of a union of spirits. Men think in terms of quantity, women in terms of quality when it comes to sex. You know that, fellas? If you ask a man, if a marriage counselor asks a man, do you have a good sex relationship with your wife, he'll think of how many times a month they have sex. He'll start counting. If you ask a woman the same question, his wife the same question, she will think in terms of closeness, conversation, tenderness, patience, general communication. She'll think of as well as the physical act itself. Men and women have an unequal need for orgasm. Most of the good books teach us that. That is, for men, they find it impossible to think of a satisfying sexual experience apart from it. Women, it's not as necessary. Men reach their maximum sexual prowess in the late teens. Women do not generally achieve maximum sexual enjoyment until well into the 30s. And I've already mentioned the honeymoon myth, have I not? That is, many think that the greatest sex is at the beginning of the marriage and it deteriorates gradually from there. That is not true. The honeymoon myth. Very often, a couple, especially if they are virgins, the sex that they have on their honeymoon is the worst they ever have in their whole marriage. Are you encouraged by that or discouraged? Well, that is short-term discouragement and long-term encouragement. Now, and it's not always true. I'm just generalizing. But that's very often true. Next, man is usually the aggressor. He should not always be. And that is changing. Time was when they were sort of building our culture that men were to be aggressive, women were to be passive. husband and wife. That is not true now, and that is changing. Communication is a key to a rewarding sexual relationship. I speak of the wisdom of variety in sexual expression, the value of creativity. Partners must distinguish between taste and morals and must operate on the basis of grace. That is, this is not an ethics class, and I'm not going to get into that. But simply saying that that we must distinguish between in variety in sexual expression, what is taste and what is morals. Now, and you can get into immorality very quickly, into perversion. But some things are simply matters of taste, and we must operate on the basis of grace. That is, seeking first the desires of the other. You understand? We must start with the needs and the taste of the other person, which can change, but that's where we start. And there may come, and I speak of the need for simple information. Now, I don't deal with this in this class. Your textbook does. It's one of the reasons I don't. The textbook does a very good job, I thought, from a Christian viewpoint, of dealing with this, the basic information that a husband and wife need. Most people know this stuff. This class is not the place to discuss that. We talk about birth control, and the text discusses that. The only two things I say about birth control is this. First of all, birth control, in dealing with birth control, we must observe the principle of mutual responsibility. Regardless of what method is used in birth control, when you get married, it is not the responsibility of one to the exclusion of the other. The man very often tries to say to the woman, that's your problem. And that is not fair. You understand? Regardless of the method that's used, it is a matter of mutual responsibility, equal responsibility. Secondly, ethical guidelines. That is, post-conception. This is what I will get over in ethics a little bit. Post-conception methods of birth control are wrong if abortion is wrong. You understand that? You've been taught that in Dean Chambers' class? Okay, so I won't go into that. What arouses a woman? A lot of men don't know. They think a red sports car and a hairy chest is all it takes to arouse a woman. You know, Magnum. The Magnum syndrome. Well, fellas, if you don't know what arouses a woman, I'm going to tell you. First of all, a man who is a good father to her children. That's a turn-on. Now, you understand, fellas, that when you use the phrase, the common phrase, nothing wrong with it, turn-on, when you use it in regard to a woman, it's a more general thing than it is for a man. That is, a woman is either turned on totally or turned off totally. You understand? If she's turned on to you, well, let me put it this way. A woman cannot... finds it very difficult to be turned on to her man sexually. She's not turned on to him generally. So it's a very... But a man who's a good father to a children, you understand? That is very attractive to a woman. Women like to be married. Women like it when their husbands are good fathers. Right, ladies? They like that. They like to see that. Secondly, a man who provides security. Right, ladies? Very important to a woman. I've already talked about this. We'll mention in this context. Women, wives, like, at least to some degree in some areas, like to say in effect to the husband, they may use the words, honey, you just take care of it. I'll leave that up to you. I'm depending on you for this. You take care of it. I don't want to have to worry about it. And let me just repeat what I may have said before. You can tell security... I've seen homes which when things really got bad, when tragedy or trouble or problems came, the man simply turned it over to his wife, and she had to come up with whatever solutions were there. And you have, and I don't want to see any show of hands, I don't want any response, but you may have been raised in a home where in your heart of hearts you know that if things really got right down to it, everything fell on your mother to make things work. And if you were raised in that kind of home, you are operating under a handicap, whether you're a man or a woman. And what I teach in this class is, fellas, it's your responsibility. Not your job in every case, but that is, it's your responsibility.
I've already talked about how, any question, do y'all see my point in that? General security. You know, and you know whether it's there or not. For instance, a woman knows whether she can lean on a man and he'll stand. And women, girls will test the man. Some more than others in dating. I think all girls do it to some extent. For instance, and then what they're looking for is security. Now, depending on how they're raised, I know my daughters are like this, and my wife is certainly like this. The woman will often in the dating age and in the dating years and even dating months and even in the early marriage years will push their man, just to see if they can get away with it. And they don't want to get away with it. You girls would never do that. Girls will do it, and they know it's dumb. And while they're doing it, they'll say, "I shouldn't be doing this. Poor guy doesn't deserve this." For instance, girls will often act like a brat just to see if they can get away with it. When they don't want to act like it, but and what they're looking for is security. I'm very serious about that. I think it's natural. I don't think you have any choice. By the way, the more feminine a girl is, the more bratty she is sometimes, just to see if she can get away with it. And fellas, when you marry them, they'll try it ever so often. But it gets farther and farther apart. After you're married for a few years, it's all over. Couldn't get away with it.
Then it couldn't get away with
it.
Yeah,
now, why is that? It's security. What many girls, I don't, all women don't do this. Understand? I'm generalizing. It's very common for girls and young women to really push a man, and then if he gives in, despise him because he gave in. She'll demand something, which is unreasonable, and when he gives in, she doesn't want him to give in. She's mad because he gave in. Now, some women are conscious of doing this, and some women are not conscious of doing it, and some women don't do it at all. And it's not a defect if you don't do it. But I'm simply saying it's a common thing. It's not a universal thing. Yes? Even if she doesn't ask for it? Well, depending on the nature of the problem, but ultimately I think you have to step in. If I understand what you're asking, if my wife did something like that, I would step in and solve the problem, but I would make her know this is going to happen again. Well, that's up to you. You be careful about that, though. Operate by grace. I know that. And by the way, the more popular the girls are, the more, and this is a delicate thing to talk about because I don't want to hurt feelings, but the more popular a girl is, that is, the more dates she's had, the easier it's been for her to have dates. Very often, the more she will test the man. And I know my wife, she'll mind me telling this, she's a delightful person. And she was, as you know, she's very attractive. She had boys lined up. I mean, she was dated. The word came to the campus of Cincinnati that she was coming months before she ever got there. The word was that, you know, and boys were lined up dating her. And like I said, I'd never date her because everybody else wanted to date her. And I finally, her sister taught me into dating her. Her sister's the reason we got married. I was a good friend of her sister. Like I roomed with my roommate was her sister's fiance at the time. Anyway, so my wife had that habit. She had more. She had four girls could have lived than what she threw away. And I'm serious. So she developed this habit of when I'd say I'll pick you up at 6 or whatever, and she'd come when she got real good and ready, because the boys were always waiting for her. I think she, and she talked, we talked about this later. And so I remember one time, and I talked about it a couple of times, you know, I said, you know, I can see 6 or 7 minutes late, you know, 15 minutes late, but you know, 20 minutes regularly. And so, you know, and we just this started going together. And it was Thanksgiving. We were going to her aunt's house. And I was supposed to pick her up, and I went, and she wasn't even close to being ready. And but I'd warned her. I said, "No, be sure to be ready on time. You know, we talked about this." And so I just went off and left her, and I went to her aunt's house. Had a nice time. "Where's Linda?" "Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's not coming." And I got a phone call out there, you know. And would I come back and get her? And I said, "Well, this time." And never had that problem again. But she actually, it never occurred to her that anybody would ever actually go off and leave her, especially when you're going to her aunt's house. And I didn't know her aunt. I just showed up. "Who are you?" "I'm Linda's date." "Where's Linda?" She wasn't ready. had a nice time. Lovely people. And I'm not going to get into other experiences, but what women are looking for very often is security. They're like a child sometimes. That's not being fair, but they'll push a man and push him to see if who's stronger. Women, listen to me, most women do not, in their down deep, whether they know it or not, do not want to be the stronger person in the relationship. You cannot lean on somebody who's weaker than you are. You understand? And when the going gets tough, you want somebody who's stronger than you are in important ways, security. A man, for instance, a woman is turned off by a man who's always apologizing for his own existence. A wimp who goes through life fearful, and his only question is, "Honey, are you open? Anything do for you? Are you happy? How can I change to make you happy?" And you see, whimpers and simpers, and pretty soon she gags and goes. She gags and goes looking for somebody else.
What? Here's a question. It's interesting you brought that up. Have those of you that have ever played this game or whatever, have you ever had a guy say, "Okay, no, I'm not going to take it," and book, and then not book, sorry, and leave, and then think, sit back and go, "Wow, maybe I shouldn't have pushed him that hard because he was pretty nice and he stood up to me. Now he's..." Has that ever happened?
Dang. Yeah, you're right.
They do, because I mean, I've had to leave and slam and tear out of the driveway. And I sway, I count, and about 5 minutes later they'd be back. So I don't know, I never have to leave.
I just wondered if that had ever happened where a guy said, you know, "Okay, if you want to play that game, I'm..."
You know, when you meet that guy, you know whether or not you push him or not.
Well, some guys, they're like velvet until all of a sudden they become iron real quick, ideally. Some men are velvet all the way through. I'm serious. Women, I'm saying that most women don't want that. And we're not talking about being mean. We're talking about we know what we're talking about, don't we? Well, the issue is security. That's why girls do it. And boy, it drives men crazy, by the way. If men don't understand this, what they think what you've got here is a silly little thing playing games.
Well, that's what I wondered if somebody would say about.
Isn't that right, Phil? That's why men say, "What's going on?" For instance, if men don't understand that, unless they understand it, that is, unless they understand what's going on, it's very frustrating to a man to have to be treated, have somebody treat him real snotty, just to push him when he can't see any reason for it. When he has to get angry and say, look, you know, this isn't going to happen. He doesn't really understand that unless he has been told. And this is not—it's not silly. It's not silly kids' games either. One of the real problems that has—listen to me—and you get this in marriage counseling, preachers. One of the real problems you get in the church even, is a woman who's married to a man that she cannot respect because she can run over him three times a day if she wants to. And she'll meet another man, and sometimes he's in the church, that she knows is not like that. And you've got some bad chemistry going, and you got a potential problem. And this happens. And it's very bad. You have to be aware of it. I know men, women, who treat... I've had women treat me with more respect than they treat their own husbands. I mean, raise their voice to their own husband. That is the... And I told a woman that one time. I knew her well enough to say this. I said, don't talk to me like that. She was in this habit of really speaking in a snotty, sneering way to her husband. You know, just talk to him like he was a dog, as a matter of course. And he just let her do it. And she started on me that way. And finally, I don't like to be talked to like that. And I said, I'm tired. I said, don't talk to me like that. I'm not your husband. And she did. She stopped. She went in and talked to him like that. But I think in her heart of hearts, she wished her husband would tell her that.
Well, in ministry, application of ministry, where or if do we stand to step into a case like that?
Oh, that was a situation where I knew her well enough to say
well,
that.
Well, I mean, yeah. In other words, to go to the man and say, listen, Jack.
Well, that's a good question. Now, this is Professor Bundy's area. So anything I ask, I answer. I'm not trained in this area. He's the expert. I respect his views. I'm going to give you an opinion, but you would have to check with him. In my opinion, areas, things like this, which are so delicate, that you can't go to a man and say, look, your marriage would be better if you weren't such a wimp. Your wife would like you better. You can't do that. What you can do, if they come to you, I think, in counseling, the problem, you understand, if they come to you and ask, then you can very kindly and delicately say some things like that. But the problem with that is, with a man especially, see, men don't like to go to counseling. Women are willing to go because men are arrogant. You understand, if a marriage is in trouble, usually the woman will want to go get help. He won't, because he's arrogant. Men are arrogant. But the problem is, by the time a man goes, usually it's so late, you can't do much about it. Very often, if a man has a real marriage problem, finally he'll come to you and talk it over with you. Usually it's too late. Too much has been said. Too many things have gone wrong. Yes?
Is it, if I wouldn't tell people that I wouldn't yell at them now, I wouldn't treat like that, but it's not because you show me that they're strong, it's because I have respect for them. Do I have respect for them because I see that they're
natural? Women, I don't know. I'm speaking from a man's point of view. That's why I'm glad to hear you ladies speak. Is I think women, just as a man senses femininity when he's around it. I talked about this before, right, fellas? I mean, you know when you're around femininity. I think women don't have to know a man very well before they pick up on him. They sort of sense whether they can. He'll be a doormat or not. Whether he can provide security. I'll never forget one of my happiest memories. This is about my daughter. But LeAngela, is a strong-willed child. If you know LeAngela. I mean, she would always, I always kid her that when the Lord came back, she would try to organize the second coming. I mean, she's just absolutely strong-willed. And I will forget the first time she ran into iron under this very, she married Jeff, a Marine Corps pilot and officer. Very quiet, very, very kind fella. But boy, when she ran into iron, you should have seen a look. You talk about an interesting transformation. When you see LeAngela back off, that's somebody backing off. I mean, you talk about backstroking. She has a lot of backstroking to do. And I'll never forget the first time she ran into him when he drew the line on her. And she was glad that, boy, she was scared. She had never run into that. Not just in that way. It was a friend, you know. It was the amazement of a totally new experience. The only thing she could say was, she said, I don't forget. She came to me. She said, Daddy. Or she said, Daddy, Daddy, he's like you. which meant I got in trouble. It was like going up against a father. And she was glad she got in trouble, but she'd never been in that kind of trouble before. She was glad to be in trouble.
bit. You understand? Yes.
You guys on the average like it have a switch, like the girls tubing, strong will.
Some men, if men, and this is, again, this is Professor Bundy's area, and I'm not trained in this, but a lot, some men seek women who will dominate and take over and take the responsibility and provide the security, especially men who are raised with very strong mothers. They have no experience of anything else. If they were raised to depend upon the female for their security, then they will often seek that kind of relationship. And the thing about that is there are plenty of women around to furnish that, because there are plenty of women raised in homes like that where an increasing number, increasing percentage, where the security was provided by the mother, so they think that's their job. And listen, I know some real marriages that have worked very well. That is perfect harmony, because he expected the female, the woman, his wife, to provide the security, and she expected to provide it, and they were neither surprised, and it worked fine. Because that's the way they were both raised.
Like
the problem you get is where you don't have that happy accident.
Like masculine men who are looking for a good wife, they tend to go to the ones that they can dominate, or the kind of girls that don't, do they just sit here and
they'll
okay? Or the kind
of, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
It's nice sometimes to sit back and let your wife. Just give her a reins and let her do things. But also nice to say at a certain point, that's it. You know, go ahead and take care of it. But you know that you can step in at any time. And there's a good citizen, there's a nice city slayer.
Mrs. Chambers raised this, and my wife used it about 2 weeks ago. If they know that their husband is strong enough to where when they say no, they make the final choice. It gets them out of a lot of trouble into our situations, because this one lady, one of my wife, gets kind of tough to her heart, and she didn't want to do it. And she talked to me, and I said, no, you're already in something else, I'm not going to do it. So when she told that lady no, it wasn't no, not me. My husband said no, and that got her off the hook. It's a lot easier to tell that lady no, because she had me back her up. And she knew that I would back her up. And I guess it's security and the things that they can.
There's a case where it seemed like a minor thing, but the principle is there. She wanted you to take the choice away from her. She didn't want to make the choice. She wanted you to make the choice. Now, I don't know what kind of how they seek them, Lori. That's a good question.
Do you lose respect though for girls that are, I mean, you tend to have more respect for a woman who is not independent to the point where she runs over all guys, but has a mind around. Do you have more respect than a little?
Well, the difference, what a man wants in a wife is not a little puppy dog, like you say, who whimpers around. What a man loses respect for a person, it's not, a man doesn't say, well, I hope she defies me regularly, you know. It's not that. What a man looks for is a person. Who's a person. It's very hard to live with a pet. You want a person, you understand? A person who knows something, who's got abilities, who has their own interests. Is right, fellas? Who has their own interests, who's their own person. That's not the same issue as I'm talking about here. For instance, my wife knows that there are broad areas that she has absolute freedom, in the sense she can do whatever she wants to do, you know, make her own decisions, just go right up. But she knows there are areas that she better check with me first. And she knows there's areas where she cannot act. But it's like I'll give you an example. Forgive the personal example. And I think my wife and I have a good relationship. Some of you may see you asked Linda some of these questions when she was here. When it comes time to buy a car, I don't even tell my wife. I just go out and buy a car. Well, she didn't know the first thing about a car. She'd buy one for all the wrong reasons. Her knowledge of machinery ends with the doorknob. And I'm serious. And so I just, last time I bought a car, I bought a car today. And she said, since it's going to be in your name too, what kind of sign for it? She said, okay.
That was it. I know wives who would actually throw a fit if their husband went out and bought a car without consulting them. But that's none of her business. When she gets in, she starts, turns the key, she wants it to run and drive, and if it doesn't work, she calls me. That's her as she is. Now, on the other hand, you're looking at a man, listen to me, you're looking at a man who signed a 30-year mortgage on his home and never saw it. My wife picked out her home. I sent her to Florida to buy a home. She picked it out. Understand? She shopped for it. I went by and signed the mortgage, and then I went to look at it. Now, is that trust? And she knew she could do it. I said, and I did it with her. And it's interesting. It turned out to be an excellent choice. It was one of the smartest things we. Now, you see, and actually, I went and looked at a couple, and I kind of wanted some other help, and it would have been, and if they had done what I wanted to do, it would have been a big mistake. But anyway, see my point? So that's trust, isn't it? And yet, so it's not a matter, Laura, of being a little wimpish pet. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what turns a man off. What turns a man off is if a wife is not a person. Right, fellas?
I was going to say, you want your wife to be a strong, loyal person and a person of her own, but to show it in places, like not in public, not to cross you in public with her strong will. Because my wife, she knows where and when she can really make an argument with me, but it's not in public, she won't do it in public. And hasn't always do a lot with respect.
Well, I'd say this. I think it's good for couples to get this straightened out early in the marriage. And it provides, it's fun. Okay, let me move on quickly. We're getting out of time. We're saying what turns a woman on. A man who provides security. Conversation, general closeness. I've discussed that. I include that here just to make it complete, the outline complete. Regular expressions of romantic love. And I've talked about this. Women like that. And physical appearance. By that I mean hygiene, dress, and others. By the way, remember I said that women can smell better than men can? Cleanliness, cleanliness is very important to most women. A body odor is a big turnoff to a woman. Huge. Do you fellas know that women are extremely turned off by dirty fingernails? Women cannot stand dirty fingernails. By the way, the backs of a man's, women notice hands, men don't notice hands, right, ladies? Women notice hands. Men never think about it. That's why cleanliness and women, by the way, like cufflink shirts. They like long sleeve cufflink shirts, right, ladies, on a man. They don't always know why. Because they notice hands. Women like nice looking watches because they notice hands. Men don't care. Most men cannot remember what their own watch looks like. You ask the average man to describe his own wife's watch. If it were stolen, he probably couldn't do it. He thinks he can, but he probably couldn't. Now, women can, though. Women notice things like that. And general physical appearance, including physical condition. Let me say this to you. Now I'm going to say this to you. Now, realize that this is a very delicate area, and this is an area where there's broad range of application, and this is an area where we are limited in our possibilities. But within the limitations of our natural gifts and our natural health and our possibilities, I teach that it is healthy for a marriage both the husband and the wife to keep themselves as physically fit and attractive as is reasonably possible at their age. I think you owe it to each other. Now, I understand. This varies. Some men eat like birds, and some women they just pick up weight no matter what. And some women and men are gluttons and never gain an ounce. Understand? So it varies. And some women like different things in a man, and some men like different things in a woman. All I'm saying is, making a very general statement, is that I think it helps a marriage for women to keep themselves as physically fit and attractive as they can, reasonably, without joining the modern body cult.
you know, and for men to do the same thing. Now, my wife and I have always agreed on that. And while we're not nuts about it, my wife has always keeps herself attractive, because she knows, mainly out of self-respect, but she knows I enjoy it, and I try to do the same for her. It's not a big thing, but it's important. I have seen women and men, once they got married, just let themselves go. I mean, it was just really pitiful, get real dumpy. Back in the 60s, when we first got married, it was a big thing. The hairstyles required these big curlers, huge curlers. Some of you don't remember those. And it was very common in those days for women to be seen in the supermarkets, these the hair and curlers. And even in those days, when that was a style, my wife never would do that. She would never go out of the house with curlers in her hair. She would never think of going out of the house without fixing herself up, putting up makeup. She has that sense of self-respect, not fastidiousness, but right, Leslie? A sense of self-respect. You know, and she expects that of her husband. Women like to see that in a man.
Well, especially if your husband's in the working field, and there are women out there who are looking for men, and very attracted to. And I think if a woman gets cheated on, a lot of it can be her fault. Because she doesn't keep herself up, or he is, because there's a lot of women out there who are really.
Which it doesn't justify infidelity, but neither a woman nor a man has the right to say, okay, I'm married to you now, I can let myself, it doesn't matter how I look, I can let myself go. I mean, men ought to get up, and unless you wear a beard, shave, brush your teeth, comb your hair, keep yourself fit, take a shower. But you'd be amazed how many people don't. And it damages marriages. I'm not making this up. This is not a kiddie. This is not a childish thing. It damages marriages. It damages them seriously. Now, it's more important to some people than others. I realize that. It's a very touchy, iffy thing. Okay, we'll continue this next hour.